Jersey Bears.
I was real tough.
Let's see what Sean passed away in the year 2000. Okay, yeah. A recent rabbi. All right, so let's see. Svira Sa'omer. Klalus Inyan HaSvira. Let's try to understand generally what Svira Sa'omer is about. Okay, Usvartim Lachem Mimacharas HaShabbos Miyom HaViyachem Es Omer HaTanufa Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos Tiyana. So the Torah tells us in Parshas Emor that on Macharas HaShabbos, on the day after Shabbos, which is the day after the first day of Pesach, we begin to count 7 weeks upon bringing the Omer HaTanufa, the Omer that is waved. And it's Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos. We count 7 complete weeks until the end of 6 weeks, 7 weeks, Tisbru Chamishim Yom, Vehikravtet Mincha Chadosh Ol Hashem. And then you bring another carbon on Shavuos, a carbon to begin and a carbon to end. Now he asks an interesting question. He's going to ask a whole series of questions. Hinei HaMafarshim Omdu Al Siyam HaPasuk. The Mepharshim are curious about the end of the Pasuk, V'hikravtem mincha chadosh al Hashem. The end of 7 weeks, you should count 50 days, you should bring a mincha chadosh al Hashem. The halo inyan shtei halecha mefurash b'pasuk shel achrav. Meaning, the next Pasuk is actually going to begin to describe to us what you bring. And it says very clearly, V'moshvo seichem taviyu lechem tenufa shtayim v'gomer. The next Pasuk tells us that we bring the shtei halechem. It tells us how to bring it. It's made out of chametz as opposed to the world of matzah, which is the world of Pesach. So why do I need to mention at the end of the pasuk that's telling me about counting that you're going to bring this mincha chadash al Hashem? That's already going to be clarified in the next pasuk. Okay, we'll see what we do with that question. V'chein lama nisker inyan hamincha al sviras over v'pasuk echad. Meaning, it's almost like the Torah is giving us sort of a synopsis of the whole story. It starts with a carbon and it ends with a carbon. The mashma shezech chelek mi Sfiras Omer. But the truth is that carbon of Shavuos is not about Sfiras Omer. After Sfiras Omer, there's Shavuos. And on Shavuos, there's a carbon. So why do I have to introduce that carbon in the Pesukim that are teaching me about the counting of the Omer? They seem to be two separate things. Furthermore, we need to understand Madua lo mefurash b'Torah be'eze yom b'chodesh al chag ha'shvuos. We need to understand why is it not explicit in the Torah the day of Shavuos? It doesn't give us a calendar date. That's very interesting. Kamosh mefurash b'shar ha'mo'adim, like we find by other holidays, it tells you when it is. On the 10th of the 7th month, right? Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av. Elul Tishrei, on the 10th of Tishrei, you should have Yom Kippur. The Torah gives us a date. The Torah gives us a date. And yet, unlike all the other holidays, the Torah doesn't give us a date for Shavuos. It just says count 7 weeks and then you'll be there. So why does Shavuos not have a clear date in the Torah? Because of Rak Uva Yom Abikurim Ba'krivcha Mincha Chatash Al Hashem B'Shavuos Eichem. It just says, you know, at the end of the 7 weeks, you'll bring that carbon in celebration of the weeks. It alludes to the fact that what? That on the day you're going to bring the carbon, Shtei Alechem, you make a holiday. So that's called Shavuos. But why doesn't it give us a date? Why does the Torah not establish a date for Shavuos? V'gam, and furthermore, b'mitzvah Sfiras Omer Atzma Yesh Lahach Shavuoski. We would want to ask the same question about Sfira itself. Dolo nemar b'Torah lahaschil lispor b'shisha asar l'chodesh harishon. It doesn't tell us to start counting Sfiras HaOmer on the 16th of Nisan. Ela mimachras haShabbos, the day after Shabbos, the day after, you know, the first day of Pesach, count Sfira. So again, I could figure that out. The Torah told me the first day of Pesach is the 15th. I could figure out that Sfira starts on the 16th. But again, it's very mysterious that it's not giving me calendar dates for the beginning of the process, not giving me a calendar date for the end of the process. Why? Odi Yesh Lomar. Furthermore, we can explore. Why does it say Tisperu Chamishim Yom? Why does it say count 50 days? We don't count 50 days, we count up to the 50th day. And maybe that's the Pashup Pshat. Maybe Tisperu means count up to. But I don't know, if I was just doing a simple translation, I would think Tisbru Chamishim Yom means count 50 days. We don't count 50 days. Right? We count 49 days. Hare anu sofrim ein sofrim elemem tesium. We only count 49 days. Rashi mavur shezem mikra misuras. And more than that, Rashi tells us this pasuk is misuras. This pasuk is out of order. It's inverted. It doesn't seem to speak in a way that's clear. It seems to jump around. It starts to introduce something, and then it jumps to the end, and it goes back. Achein yesh lavar lama kosva kein haTorah kadosha. Shrei bavada yesh lachol davar kavana miyuchedes. So Rashi says, well, if you inverse the pasuk, you can put the pieces together, and it becomes clear that 50 days doesn't mean actually count 50 days. It means that on the 50th day, on the end of the counting, then you should make a holiday. But the way the pasuk is written, it's very misleading. It sounds like Tisperu Chamishim Yom, count 50 days. We don't count 50 days. Okay? So the Rebbe has a lot of questions about the psukim of Siras Omer in Parshas Emor. Okay, so let's see if we can get to the... Again, it's an introductory piece to the idea of Siras Omer. V'yis yashiv behektim biur hayaud shel hatkufa hakadosha shel Siras Omer b'chlala. To begin to answer these questions, we need to first understand what is the overarching goal of this holy period of Siras Omer. However, the goal of Siras Omer is not just to count a number. The goal of Siras Omer is not just to count a number. It's obviously much more than that. What am I trying to experience? Right? Menachem Ephraim was asking me yesterday, so what's this, you know? Gvura Shabbat Tiferes, Tiferes Shabbat Tiferes is today. What are we doing? What does that mean? What parts of our soul are we working on? It's not just counting and waiting to arrive at Shavuos. We're trying to prepare ourselves for Shavuos. So let's see, in what way? Dihinei bin yanei ha-svira yesh kavanas el yonos. With regard to the kavana of the sviros, of Sviras HaOmer, there's very lofty things that are taking place. V'nefalim b'zeh tikunim el yonim. And major, major fixing is taking place. These 7 weeks corresponding to the 7 lower sviros of Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Malchus correspond to the 7 emotional traits of a person. We're preparing ourselves, we're making ourselves a vessel to be able to what? To be able to have a Sviras HaOmer. To make ourselves worthy of Kabbalah Satorah. Achein al derech ha'avoda in yano kamo sha'omrim acher Sviras HaOmer. The avoda of these days is like we say, for those who say that little paragraph, that tefillah after Sviras HaOmer, Ribono sha'olam, Master of the world. Atot tzivi sonu al yedei Moshe avducha lisvor Sviras HaOmer. Hashem, you commanded us by way of Moshe the Eved Hashem to count Sviras HaOmer. What are we doing? Kedei l'tahareinu, to purify ourselves, mikliposeinu, from all of our impurities, from all of the things, all the blockage that surrounds our lives, umitumoseinu v'chulu, and to cleanse it. It's a cleansing process. V'atahar v'eskadesh v'kedusha shel mala, so that I can elevate myself and purify myself to reach new levels of holiness. That's what Sviras HaOmer is about. That's what we're trying to do during these days. That's what we're trying to accomplish. Many of the Svarim compare it, the 7 weeks of Sviras HaOmer are compared to the 7 days that a woman prepares herself before going to the mikvah. 7 clean days before being able to go to the mikvah. So we're preparing for our marriage, we're preparing for our wedding, we're preparing for an intimate relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ya'ud ha'tkufa hazos hu latzeis ulitar me'atuma ulichones l'mekor ha'kedusha. In one line, the goal, the objective of these days is to get out of Tumas Mitzrayim and to get into the Kedusha of the world of Torah. Now you'll ask Akasha. In Mitzrayim, we were on the 49th level of Tumah. And to receive the Torah, we want to reach the 49th level of holiness. So Tzaddikim asked a question, so we should really have to count 49 days to get out of Mitzrayim, to get rid of Tumas Mitzrayim, and then 49 days of positive growth to reach the high levels that we want to achieve in Torah. Right? So maybe there should be 98 days. So Tzaddikim explained that no. The Kedusha of a Jew and his connection to the 49 levels of holiness is inherent in a person. You don't have to really work necessarily to tap into them. Meaning that was given to us. That's available to us. The 49 levels of Tumah that cover us in Mitzrayim, if I can just remove that, If I can just, again, there's one way to answer the question. There's other ways to answer the question also. But if I can just wash off the dirt, so to speak, if I can remove the tumah, so then mamela, automatically, I'll be kadosh, I'll be tar. So I don't need 49 days to get out of Mitzrayim and then another 49 days to make myself the type of Jew that's worthy of Kabbalah Satorah. The reason I'm not worthy of Kabbalah Satorah is because of all the tumah that I acquired from Mitzrayim. If I can wash that away, so then I'll be automatically ready for Kabbalah Satorah. Okay, so that's the goal during these days. The objective of these days is to purify ourselves, to be able to what? To receive the Torah. V'chol tekufa zu, four lines on the bottom, hi yechida achas, it's one long process, mi pesach ad chag ha-shuas. In other words, the Torah, by putting it together, by highlighting the karbanos, again, part of the questions that he asked, by putting the karbanos in one pasuk, it's saying these are not two separate events. This is one process, shebo nishlemes ha-yetziyam mitzrayim. It's through this process that we complete yetziyas mitzrayim. Sfiras HaOmer is that bridge to get us to Kabbalah Satorah. Sharei kol inyin chag ha-pesach uzman chereseinu. So you want to be free. You don't want to be a slave to Mitzrayim. But chever, guess what? You can be a slave to a lot of things. You can think you're not a slave and you can still be a slave. Because if you don't make it to Kabbalah Satorah, then you're still a slave. Ein lecha ben choren ela misha osek b'torah. So you might say, I feel like I have a lot of freedom in my life. If you're not connected to Torah, then you're a slave. What are you a slave to? I don't know. Whatever you're a slave to. Some of us are slaves to our cell phones. No? That's why we have a cell phone box for those who want to use it. Some of us are slaves to, I don't know, to our careers. Some of us are slaves to, yeah. Some of us are slaves to coffee or other drinks that help us. When I become dependent on anything other than Hashem, not bad things. Nothing I just listed is bad. But when I don't know how to stop, when I don't know how to disconnect from that and to connect to Hashem, then I lack cheres. So Yitzias Mitzrayim is not complete. The whole notion of Zman Cheresenu is not complete, right? Until what? Until I come to Kabbalah Satorah. Again, Sherei Kol Inyin Chag HaPesach Uzman Cheresenu Perish Latzeis Lecherus Meishibud Shehainu Mishubadim LeParav Mitzrayim. I don't want to be indebted to Parah Mitzrayim. I don't want to be subservient to Parah Mitzrayim. Dehainu, top of the left column. Hashibud leklipas Mitzrayim. That I feel that I'm not in control of my life. That I feel that I'm trapped in a certain type of tumah that I don't know how to disconnect from. But you can't spend your whole life just running away from bad things. You have to run towards something holy. And that's why getting out of Mitzrayim is not enough. I have to attach myself. I have to work. So now, great. So now I'm free. So now what? She'ein lecha ben chorin el misha osik b'torah. Because I don't have true freedom, right? Until I'm what? Until I'm bound to a life of purpose. And the only thing that's going to give direction and purpose to every detail in my life is a life of Torah. U'kamayim ra'kasev bo'tziyacha sa'ami Mitzrayim ta'avdun es'elokim alahar azeh. When you get out of Mitzrayim, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, how are you going to know the process is complete? When you're ta'avdun es elokim al harazah. When you serve Hashem on this mountain. Right? As far as we even say a remez, ta'avdun is ta'avdu nun. That on day 50, you're going to serve Hashem on this mountain. Perish. The Masai tikwar v'tishlam ho'tziach asam Mitzrayim. When will that Yitzias Mitzrayim be complete? Kishita Avdun es elokim al harazah. When I'm ascending the mountain of holiness, when I'm serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki yetzias Mitzrayim v'kabbalas haTorah heim inyan echad v'hemshech ratzuf. It's one thing. The halacha says you're not allowed to drink additional cups of wine between what? Between the third and the fourth cup. Otzesi v'itzalti v'ga'alti v'lakachti. Because if I can't get from the v'ga'alti, the redemption, to the v'lakachti, so I'm redeemed from Mitzrayim, that's great. But where am I going? So I need lakachti eschem li la'am. I need to be taken by Hashem as a people. They have to be connected. V'chol od sheYehudi einu over es tkuvas hatara u'migiyah lekabbalas haTorah ein zo shleimas zman chereseinu. So if you left Mitzrayim, but you don't travel that road to Kabbalas haTorah, so then you're not. Then you haven't achieved real freedom. You've just, okay, you got away from Paro until the next person controls you. So now we understand the inference that the Svarim HaKadoshim make. Very interesting question. Why is it that by the other regalim, the Torah explicitly says, there's a notion of simcha, and yet when it comes to Pesach, all of a sudden the simcha is somewhat obscured. Why do we have to derive from connections to the other regalim that there must be an inyan of simcha by Pesach as well? Why is it not as clearly stated? And the answer is because we're not there yet. As awesome as Pesach is, as joyous as that first taste of freedom is, but if I don't know where to put that freedom, if I don't connect it to Kabbalah Satara, then I'm still lost. I'm still stuck. I'm still Meshubad. Yes.
The idea of being free, and then entering into a Zomer, is that based on the idea of getting that glance of the light?
Right, so that's definitely one, typical way to explain it. Right, that we kind of, and that could be another answer to that question, right? We should have to do 49 steps out and then 49 steps up. So one answer could be that, no, when we left at time, we were yanked out. In one shot, we got out. So now we're at zero, so to speak. And now, so that's all, is 49 positive steps. That's one way to look at
it. The idea of seeing your full potential. And
Correct. Yeah.
Two things. One, the note about why we shouldn't need to. Do 99 days. Was because it's, which part's the easier part? Doing the Tara levels?
The Tara is natural for a Jew. Alokai neshama shenatata bi tahirehi. Hashem, you gave me a neshama tahira. So that's natural. But if I bury it in the mud, so then I have to wash off the mud. So the 49 days are washing off the mud of its time.
Megillah, when we talk in Dayenu about how it's like there's always that drasha on if we had gotten to
right.
Sinai, that would have been
the Torah.
So how does that
work? Good question. Right, we know some of the answers to that question, but right. On a certain level, that's the hardest step of the Dayenu. If we would have dot anything and not gotten the Torah, Dayenu. Dayenu again only mean not some explain. They translate the word Dayenu. Some translate the word Dayenu, not that it would have been enough, right? We're learning right now it would not have been enough.
Yeah.
There's no Yisias Mitzrayim unless you come to Kabbalah Satorah. But Dayenu, it would have been sufficient for us to thank you. Right? And that's what we're practicing actually our Hakar Satov in Dayenu by saying, for this, it would have been sufficient to give a really good thank you. But I wanted something more also. Yeah, but if you think about how significant each step was, Dayenu, that would be sufficient to thank Hashem.
And then, when we were talking before about, Avdos, and how it basically means that you're, dependent on something, your phone or whatever.
Meshubad.
I find it interesting that also would work technically in the opposite direction. If you're, so to speak, the boss or the master of someone, and you're also dependent on whatever they do well.
Interesting, right.
And so it works in both, no matter where you kind of are.
That's very interesting. Right, that even the guy who's calling the shots, even Power who's directing, his success becomes dependent upon the slaves who are working for him. Right, so even if you're the guy on top, your responsibility to those under you, right, makes you also dependent. In an interesting way. It's an interesting way to think of it.
In that way, is there any real scenario where you become independent, or so to speak, only dependent on Hashem, because the might say you do need to be dependent on other people.
Right. But the goal is to recognize, more and more that Every move I make is only truly dictated by Hashem. By Hashem and the directions of the Torah. And that's freeing. Because that's the only way I know that someone has my best interest in mind. Everyone else has their personal, you know, biases that motivate them to do or not to do. But if Hashem tells me this is objective truth, this is what I want you to do, so that sets me free. That frees me from any lower level shibud. Yeah, so that's an interesting idea to think that the employer who's dependent upon his employees is also, right? He becomes dependent as well, even though he's seemingly the most free. Yeah, the Gemara says being a king is slavery. Melech's responsibility to the people. Malchus is right. Malchus is not. The Gemara calls it explicitly. The Gemara says that Malchus is avdus. Okay, so in lano melech elata. Okay, Uzbeis. Let's do one more.
Which Gemara was
that? It's in Horios. I don't know where else. Somewhere else also, I think. Maseches Horios. We can look it up in a.
It's also the Parshim on. We talked about this actually this year. Parshim on.
Oh yeah? We spoke about how his malchus is
avdus. It says he went to the house
of freedom. Okay. Alright, let's see. V'yesh b'tekufa zo be'ezen yonim. So chaver, there's two things that are taking place during these days. Hashlamas yitzias mitzrayim kemshech l'pesach. As we just explained, this is the conclusion of yitzias mitzrayim, right? Which is a continuation of Pesach. Like it says in the Sefer Divrei Moshe, on the pasuk velo nacham elokim derech eretz plishtim, in Parshas Bishalach, Hashem did not velo nacham. Nacham means Hashem did not guide us. Hashem did not lead us by way of the plishtim. Right? And then the pasuk says v'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. Now the pasuk pshat in chamushim is that the Jews came out armed. Right? They came out armed from Mitzrayim. Rashi explains chamushim, the tevas v'chamushim, haynu echad mi'chamisha, shirak chamishas mi'bnei Yisrael yotzu mi'mitzrayim. Rashi says chamushim means one-fifth of the Jews left Mitzrayim. Unfortunately, many of the Jews did not leave Mitzrayim. Hard to understand such a notion. Right, or as we've said in the past, that maybe they got out through one-fifth of their soul, the pintaliyad, the yechidah shebenefesh. Avnam lefizeh kosha. It's funny, I was actually at a wedding on Sunday, and a guy came over and introduced himself, and he said, I want to just tell you, the part that you said on the one-fifth of the Jews left Mitzrayim, is like, that's my favorite part. I was like, it's one of my favorite parts too. That idea, that one-fifth. What do you mean, he said, because he said, I'm so bothered. How could it be that only one-fifth of the Jews left Mitzrayim? That means, no, every Jew left Mitzrayim, but they got out in the merit of that one-fifth of the soul that can't be damaged. Okay, but again, let's go a different way. Another lefizeh kosher, but according to again, if it's one fifth, if that's what it's about, mazeh kosher l'rosh ha'pasuk. What does any of this have to do? Or even if you say the pasuk means that they left armed, chamushim. What does any of that have to do with lo nacham elukim derech eretz plishtim? Says the Slonim Rebbe, what does that have to do with the fact that they left and they didn't travel by way of the plishtim? What does that have to do with anything? There's a very deep idea that's found in the holy books. The Vilna Gaon talks about this, I believe. The Megala Amukos talks about this, I believe. She'inyan yetzias Mitzrayim nizker b'torah chamishim pa'amim. Fascinating idea. You know how many times it talks about yetzias Mitzrayim in the Torah? 50 times. L'fi she'yesh chamishim b'chinos shel yetzias Mitzrayim. Because there are 50 expressions, manifestations of getting out of Mitzrayim. There's 50 levels of Tumah. We were on the 49th level of Tumah. And corresponding to that, there are 50 times where the Torah speaks about getting out of Mitzrayim, because there's 50 descents that one can make into Mitzrayim. The greatest one, the tzaddikim say, that the one that pulls us out the most, like the highest one, is Anochi Hashem Elokecha. When we hear Hashem speak at our Sinai, I am Hashem your God, Asher Hotzei Sicha Me'aretz Yitzrayim. That's the highest one. Okay? So therefore, V'gam La'achar She'yotzei Mimitzrayim B'v'china Achas Adayin Yesholav Letzeis Od Harbe Al Chamishim Pa'amim. So that's what Jack was saying, right? Did we jump out of Mitzrayim in one shot? Did we get a taste of our perfected selves? How did this work? So he's saying it's exactly it. Even though we left Mitzrayim v'china achas, we left Mitzrayim sort of in one, you know, fell swoop. But then, it's incumbent upon us to what? To get out of the 50 levels of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Right, so, meaning on a certain level we left instantly, on a certain level we left gradually. Uvachamishim elu eile nechlolim kol amidos kloseinu pratoseinu. Meaning, the leaving of Mitzrayim, maybe you can say it like this, actually. It's an interesting way to say it. It says that the one-fifth who left, the Satmar Rebbe had a diuk. If you look in the Rashi, where it talks about the Jews who died during Makas Choshech, so the Satmar Rebbe says, Rashi uses a lashon that the ones who kind of stayed behind didn't want to leave Mitzrayim. And he says that therefore, in a certain level, the ikkar of getting out of Mitzrayim is wanting to leave Mitzrayim. But maybe you can put the two together. To get that first leap out of Mitzrayim, right, is built on what? On a deep rut zone, I want to get out of here. It's like a person who makes a decision, right, that I'm going to, a person's a, you know, again, I'm not saying a person necessarily has the mental strength to do such a thing. They may need other means to fix themselves. Let's say a person has a certain addiction. And they decide, right, the person's addicted to nicotine, they smoke, right? And they decide, I'm never going to smoke again. Now, how true is that statement? How real is that ratzon? Well, it could be that in their mind, they're fully committed to it. But now they actually have to do it step by step. They have to go one day, and then 2 days, and then 3 days, and then 4 days without a smoke or without taking a drink. Right? So, in a certain sense, it could be that the ratzon of Klal Yisrael was that first leap to get them out of Mitzrayim. The Jews who said, I want to get out of here, I want to be entirely freed from Mitzrayim, maybe that was sort of that moment of getting out of Mitzrayim. And then, okay, but Lamaisa now, you got to like do it for a period of, you got to show that you can actually do it. Right? Okay, it's going to take some time to get it out of my system. So maybe that's the Sirus HaOmer, where we work through all of our midos, v'chlal u'v'prat, generally and specifically. And the Rebbe says, "V'zeh pirush v'chamushim alu shebiyom harishon shel Pesach yatzu rak chelach echad mi'chamishim shel yitzim Mitzrayim." Maybe says the Slama Rebbe, a different shot. You know what's being hinted to? They left Mitzrayim chamushim, which again, some say 1 out of 5. Some say chamushim sounds more like chamishim, 1 out of 50 left. Right, says the Slama Rebbe, because they only got out 1 level, 1/50th. Of the journey, they only got out 1 step when they left Mitzrayim. V'lo hayu kiyum b'china achas minun. Turn the page. They only took step 1 out of 50. Metachlis ashlemus. That you can't. Right? In your mind, you can make a commitment that I'm changed forever. But practically, if you decide I want to learn Shas, I'm serious about it. I want to know all of Shas. I want to learn every page of Gemara. So that moment, if that ratzon is real, is a defining moment in your life. It's going to take you, even if you do Daf Yomi, 2,711 days to do it. But that moment where you decided is a critical moment. So in a certain sense, we were taken out of Mitzrayim. Again, the possibility, the ratzon to leave Mitzrayim, was determined in a moment. The actual journey, chamushim, step by step, 50 levels to climb. V'haya aleim la'avur od arbayim betisha yamim. Until you get to Shruas, it's going to take 49 steps, 49 days. V'zesh amar akasu v'chamushim. And again, that's why the pasuk says chamushim. K'dei litein tam lakach shelo nacham elokim derech eretz plishtim. Why didn't Hashem lead us by way of the plishtim? You have to just ask yourself, is that about the plishtim? It could be. But more simply, you know what it's about? It's a shortcut. Going by way of the plishtim was the faster route. So you'll ask yourself, Akasha, so why didn't Hashem take us on the faster route? And the answer is because there are certain things you can do in a second. There's a certain, you know, emotional, mental commitment that you can make in a second. But to actually change yourself, it's day in and day out. It's the efforts that a person makes step by step. So in answer to why lo nacham elokim derech eretz plishtim, why did Hashem take us by way of the plishtim? The answer is because chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Yisrael. Because when we left Yisrael, we only left a small portion of our yitzia. Because maybe they'll see some challenges and they'll go back to Mitzrayim. But I thought we were done with Mitzrayim. I thought we were committed to leaving Mitzrayim. Okay. The guy who also committed to stop smoking, right, had a hard time when he saw that cigarette the next day. And maybe he'll give up. Maybe he's not able to actualize that ratzon. So Hashem's saying the same thing. Klai, so you have the ratzon to leave Mitzrayim. That's great, but you only got out 1/50. There's a lot more work to do. So Hashem says, I got to take you the long route. I got to actually make this reality. Right? If you fight the plishta, if you run into trouble too soon, you're going to give up and you're going to say, I can't do it. It's such a crazy pasuk. That what? We're going to see trouble with plishtim. We're going to say, you know what? We were better off going back to Mitzrayim. I thought we were finally ready to, like, you know, fight for our lives. And therefore says the pasuk, no, chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim, haynu, sh'adayin lo yotzu mi'Mitzrayim b'shleimus. We hadn't fully left Mitzrayim. Rachelek echad mechamishim. We were 1/50 out of Mitzrayim. Va'adayim mishubadim heim ala Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was still in our system. Mitzrayim was still found in our system. We had to get it out. Alkein yesh lachshosh pen yinachim ha'am b'rosim b'chama v'shav Mitzrayim. At this point, you know, emotionally we're committed to leave, but it's going to take time to get that tumah of Mitzrayim out of our bloodstream. When we dvarav laman v'shazeh inyan yamei Sfiras HaOmer. So, however, that's what Sfiras HaOmer is. We count up. We don't count down. We're trying to build on something. Da'inu sheheim ha'hemshech l'zman chereseinu. This is that, again, that can, the continuity of Yitzias Mitzrayim to get us to Zman Simchas chereseinu. Shebechol yom yotzim od chelek shel Yitzias Mitzrayim ad shemegiyam l'tachlis ha'yetziyah b'kabbalas ha'torah. Like we say in the Tefillah, "Latareinu b'tliposenu b'tumosenu perush lahamshich letzeitz ulechaletz mikol chamishim hamadregel shaltumas tzayim." To chip away, to remove over and over, like chalitza, yeah, like the removal of the shoe. To remove the tumas mitzrayim, step by step, each and every day. So now we can go back to the pasuk. We ask, why does it say tisbru chamishim yom? Count 50 days. First of all, we only count 49 days. But he explains, shamispar chamishim kolo gam es yom tov harishon shel Pesach. It's true. We're only counting 49 days, but the Torah doesn't even say start counting on day 2. The Torah says the day after day 1, the day after Pesach, after the Seder. Why does it say it like that? It's almost like it's trying to loop in the actual day of Tesvav Nisan. But that's not Sfiras HaOmer. It's true, that's not Sfiras HaOmer. But it's Kolel, it's, in a certain sense, it encompasses that first day of Pesach. Asher bo yotzim es achelek harishon. Echad minun shal yetziyah. In a certain sense, that was the first step of getting out of Mitzrayim. And then we do the other 49 steps. Very interesting. It kind of like changes the whole count. Right? It makes it almost as if, you know, Pesach is day 1. Right? Again, spiritually, Pesach is day 1. In our count, you know, day 2 of Pesach is day 1. But what we need to understand that it's, again, everything is being built off of that. And that's only complete with Sfiras HaOmer. Shekamur ze inin yemei ha-sfira. Letzeis b'chol yom me'od b'china shokpipasenu mitumasenu. Ulichanes chelek nosaf b'kedusha shamala. To add another layer of kedusha. And based on this we understand val pizza yivur inin tamimos v'sfira. Now we understand why there's such an important one. A sense of completion that we're striving for during sfira. We don't want to miss a day. Because the alcoholic who misses a day, right, he has to start counting again. Right? The same way I told you in this purification process, if a woman is purifying herself for mikvah and then she sees blood on the 4th day of her clean count, she's back to 0. She has to start again. It's not to say that those days were worthless. The person who stopped smoking for a couple of days, that was an accomplishment. The person who didn't take a drink for a couple of days, that was an accomplishment. Right? But if he really wants to change himself, he has to be able to what? To go forever. To free himself from this tumah forever. Or at least for a long enough period that what? That it makes a change in his life. Like the woman, if she can get 7 clean days, she goes to the mikvah and she undergoes a status change. She goes from tumah to tara. She im hechzir lisbor yom echad, so from mikan ve'elech v'lo bracha. If you miss a day, the halacha tells us you can continue to count, but without a bracha. Why? Ki kol yom miyamei asfira hu bechina achas shel yitzias Mitzrayim. Because each day of Sira is another madrega of getting out of Mitzrayim. V'imchiser echad hariz echesron b'shleimus shel yitzias Mitzrayim. And if you're missing a day, then on a certain level, you're missing a step in getting out of Mitzrayim. Now again, even if you're out, I don't want to become, you know, depressed. If you got out in Sfiras HaOmer in terms of the count, right? You could still do this avoda. Again, the count is just supposed to remind us of what we're doing. It's a mitzvah. It's an important thing. But emotionally, this is what we're trying to achieve. Va'od b'zeh shenichla hayom harishon shal Pesach b'minyan yimei asfira, mishum shal kol hakoach shal yimei asfira hei me'ares yom tov rishon shal Pesach. Again, going back to what Jack said. Because all of the energy of Sfiras HaOmer is drawn from that experience of the Seder night of that first day of Pesach, as is brought in the name of Rav Moshe Eliyakim from Kozhnitz in the Haggadah Mata Moshe. He says in the name of other Sfarim HaKadoshim as well, Debulel Alif the Pesach u'bechinas godless hamochim, that on the first night of Pesach you get godless hamochim, the big thing. She'etzem ha'ara mehabore baruch hu mizgala oz pis'om shalok ha'seder. That on the first night, even though we call it the Seder, it's the most not Seder thing of all. You get to the highest level instantly. How do you do that? How is that possible? But after that awesome night of awe, of clarification, of expanded consciousness, that clarity leaves us, and we fall into a place of small-mindedness. And it's there that we start to do the work. There we start to begin to collect the sparks of light, these days of Sira. Bahadraga achas la'achas, step by step, madrega achar madrega. B'yamei Sira akadoshim. During these holy days of Sira, letzeis mi Sira lachaverta, to go from one level to the next. U'la'alos b'chol pam yoser v'yoser ad bo yom chag ha'shuas. Until you come to chag ha'shuas, yom matan Torah seinu akadoshim. L'vo oz lidei etzem ha'ara rishona shem yom alef shal Pesach. Chevra, if you get to Shuas and you feel like you felt at the Seder, that means you accomplish what you're supposed to accomplish during Sfiras HaOmer. But you'll feel it so much better because what? You'll feel that you earned it as opposed to just what? Having been given it. At the Seder, if you're tapped in, it's a gift that Hashem gives you. By Shavuos, you've earned it. You've fortified yourself. You could bring a karban mincha that's made out of chametz. The offering of Shavuos, the she'alechad is chametz. You're not scared of chametz anymore. When you were just leaving Mitzrayim, you needed a Kadosh Baruch Hu to protect you like a baby. Hashem gave you a very precise diet of matzah. But by the time you get to Shavuos, you can bring back the Yetzirah. You're not scared of it anymore. You can bring a carbon of chametz. Why? Because you've built yourself up. You've developed yourself. Right? You've made yourself strong. V'chol zeh, two lines on the bottom, hu mikolach ha'ar ha'rishona mezgala b'yom alef shal Pesach. And all of that, again, is the working through of that initial light that we receive on the Yom Tov of Pesach. Concludes the Rebbe in the last line. V'agam she'acher kach ha'ara harishona mistalekes. And even though that initial burst of inspiration is very, very hard in general in life, when you have awesome moments, it's hard to capture them, it's hard to hold on to them. Because makom nishar harishima mimena. But in our subconscious, right, on our soul, it leaves a rishima, it leaves a marking. When you have a holy experience, even if it's not clear to you, even if you don't remember, even if you can't close your eyes right now and picture drinking the second cup on Pesach, it left a mark on you. The matzah that you ate left a mark on your soul. And in some, you know, behind the scenes kind of way, it motivates a person. It gives you that energy, it gives you that strength. It was that vitamin. Was that vital medicine that we took on the night of Pesach? L'ischazik u'la'alos m'adrega l'madrega b'chol yom yoser b'yoser adbo chag ha'shuas ha'kedosha zman matan toraseinu la'etzam ha'ara ha'rishon. Okay, so the Rebbe is giving us a... Again, we didn't answer all of his questions. We'll continue the piece tomorrow. But he's giving us a roadmap. He's giving us a roadmap during these days. And it's very insightful, that idea of v'lo nacham elokim derech eretz plishtim. You just let, I made a commitment to change myself. So I can go back, I can put myself in certain situations. Hashem says, no, you better avoid the plishtim. If you ever run in with the plishtim, you're going to get yourself into a lot of trouble. Why? What's going to happen? I made a commitment to leave Mitzrayim. I know, but chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael mi'aretz Mitzrayim. You're only 1/50th of the way there. And that's the simple and the hard message of Sfiras HaOmer. It's trying to have some consistency in my life. Not where every morning I wake up and it's a different thing. What are my goals? Where am I trying to get to? What's the roadmap? What's the plan? How am I going to get there? Well, I moved away from something bad. That's very, very significant. But the goal is to get to something good. I want to be free. Right? I can't just free myself up and not attach myself to something holy. I need to attach myself to something holy. I can't have a full simcha. The Torah doesn't say simcha by Pesach because it's not a full simcha quite yet. Okay? All right. Let's pause here for today. Yeah.
Two things. One, I guess next time about and how also the war on Pesach is
right. Which is also right. You could say it's also klal pradu klal. Right? Klal pradu klal. Yeah, that's very much what's happening.
And then also we see another